He is alive. You know, we've sang some things this morning that are pretty exciting. And it says shout. And friends, I want to let you know it's okay to shout. It's okay to what your personality might be or what your denominational expectations that you've placed upon yourself. Because there are no existing expectations there. But just talking about shouting and praising our God and talking about our souls doing it forever. I tell you, if I didn't have the, I guess, I don't know how to say it. I put it like this. If I was a toddler, I'd be running around knocking everything down. That's how I feel inside right now. You know, if you ever seen an excited toddler just getting in trouble, then I feel like getting in trouble, which is not that we are. Are you excited about Jesus and what he's done for us? Amen? Amen. Lord, let us get excited. Let your fire come down. Man, oh man, oh man. Today we're going to be in Mark 12. I tell you, just today we're talking about faith, and we see that. And just, you know, Stephanie and I, we've been through some challenges. And just that a period of 2010 through 2013 was some of the greatest challenges that God has ever just put on our hearts. It all was starting in the midst of prayer, of seeking him. I would walk a mile out and then I'd pray to him the whole time, and I'd walk a mile back and just be quiet and be silent. And then one day he just brought a challenge that was so impossible. And then when I was on a church planning strategy team for putting a church in New York City, we were prayer walking through New York City, and we crossed over from we were in Manhattan, and we crossed over from the east side, walked through Central Park, and came out on the west side. And I'm praying about the church and praying who do we send? And God said, why not you? And then I just got that just challenged me, and we went through a challenging time. And then in the midst of that was a 2-year process of just different steps and fears and desperate times, and then getting to a place and just challenging God and just, you know, what about this, what about that? And he just says in the midst of that, just follow me. And what I found is just the more and more that we've been through these different challenges, when we've gotten to the end, when we've done all that we can do, when we are finished and saying, God, this is impossible for me. Lord, I am desperate. Lord, I cannot provide for the need that I have. I cannot do these things. Lord, where are you in the midst of that? I tell you, God has been present every time. Every time when I've come to the end of me and to a place of being desperate. Oh, he is a faithful God. I tell you, I will challenge you that God is a God who speaks. I have heard him in my heart speak in the times of those prayers, in those times of those desperate times. I have literally got up and I have seen God's hand move in the same day of different things. Praying for this church is one that comes to mind, and one when I had a, or two that where I had a desperate need. One of the most recent is just in the midst of December, and I'm praying about the different challenges, looking at some different things in our church, looking at some things in my life, and I'm like, Lord, this is what it all points to, and we've come to the end, and something has to be done, and Lord, I don't want to be disobedient, I don't want to be get ahead of you in anything. And in the midst of that, the Spirit says it's the next step forward. When we get to a place where we no longer have the answers and we come to a place of being desperate, God is faithful when we come to him in faith. Again, so many different challenges, and God is... And I talk about those things. There's even times, though, and those sound like great things. There's also times when I'm like, Lord, you haven't answered in this. You haven't done this, Lord. We are facing this challenge, and he brings chastisement. He says, you haven't been obedient to me in this yet. You haven't done what I've asked you this. Remember when I said this? And he brings those things back to me. It's not about me not doing what I can do. It's about you have yet to be obedient in the things that I've told you to do. He is faithful. And he calls for us to be faithful. Today I've entitled it the title Desperate Faith, and you're like, well, hey, that's kind of an oxymoron for us to be desperate and to be faithful at the same time, because of what desperate means. It means like a hopelessness, that we are that we've come to a place where it's impossible, it's beyond me. But then that's where faith begins. That's where faith begins, because the faith is a complete trust. It is a confidence in God, not only to do what he says he will do, but it's believing and it is trusting him that he will take care of us. Today we find five men in Mark 2 that are in the same place. And so join me, if you will, in Mark 2 verses 1 through 12. I'm telling you to join me. I'm not even there yet. But last week, again, if you're a guest with us today, we're going through the Gospels in a chronological way, looking at the teachings of Jesus Christ. And last week, when we saw him, he was praying. We looked at Mark 1:35, and Jesus had gotten away, and he was praying, and we talked about taking time to pray. And then we didn't look at that much further than that. But what we see, and if you look back later on, you'll see that that Jesus was praying, and somebody came to bother him. It was Peter. He said, "Hey, the people are here, and they are looking for you." He said, "Everyone is here. Everyone is here." And so, and the night before, we know that the word said that the whole city came, and so they were looking for him. And Jesus' response was not, "Okay, well, let's go." It was like, "No, let's go away from here, because I've come to preach the word. Let's go preach the word to the other towns, because that is why I have come." So from last week to this week, it's several weeks at the very least. The word says when you read the rest of Mark 1 that he went throughout the synagogues in the various towns, and we know that they would meet once a week. It was on a Saturday, and so by that we know that it's at least been several weeks, and he was preaching the word. He was healing people. He was casting out demons. And again, preaching the word of God. So there, from where we left off from last week, there has been several weeks, very possibly a couple of months, that Jesus has been away, and now we see that he has come back to the city where he is kind of what scholars would say is the headquarters. So it's find him in Capernaum. But read with me verses 1 through 12. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, Lord, to what you have for us. Cultivate our hearts, plant your seeds, Lord, and may whatever you desire today in our lives be accomplished. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, when he, talking about Jesus, when Jesus had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking to them. He was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing him a paralytic, carried by four men, being unable to get to him because of the crowd. They removed the roof above him. Can you imagine that? And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. And who can forgive sins but God alone?" And then immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out of the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this. Now, what do we see here? We see, again, just Jesus' own his compassion and trying to imagine of here he is, he's teaching, it's a full house, it's not a house like what we are familiar with, and so he's teaching, there's a doorway, people are packed out, packed in the house, they're packed outside, they're all, and I imagine it, we would call it more of a hut than we would call it really a house, and then all of a sudden, I can imagine just pieces of dirt just falling down, and like, what in the world is happening? And you know, and then look up, and I just can imagine what Jesus was thinking there. Not like, what are y'all doing, tearing up my roof or tearing up that roof? No, he just he was amazed at their faith. We see two things where that amazes Jesus when we study the scriptures, and we'll see them in weeks to come. He was amazed at faith, and he was amazed by the lack of faith. But here, Jesus, I can only imagine, it just blesses his heart that they were going through this. But here, again, talking about a desperate faith, a faith where we have come to the realization that there is more to this world and then we've been called to more to this world that is beyond us, that it brings us to a place of trusting our living God. It brings several things in mind as we study this passage, and specifically looking at those four men. In verse 3, it says, and they came bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. So there's really five men. There's the paralytic on the stretcher, and there were four men who had the courage and the love to carry him. I'll imagine that, men, just as a side note, chasing a rabbit for just a second. Imagine if each of us had at least four men. I mean, imagine if our men's ministry set up where we at least had four men that when we were in a place of just life has paralyzed us and knocked us down, that we have four men that would carry us to Jesus Christ. Oh, man. And women the same. Imagine that when life hit hard and we just didn't know what else to do, that we would have four women that could pick us up and take us to Jesus Christ. That is the Christian faith. That is the church. That is our goal, that we would aspire to that. Oh, and even more than four men. What if we had a whole church that could carry us to Jesus? Amen. That was a side note. They got that one for free. But teasing. But again, a desperate faith. We see first, desperate faith is dependent on God. Dependent on God. I mean, imagine this. The very thing that we want from our children is the same thing that God wants from us. I mean, what are some things that we would want from our children? Wouldn't we want, I mean, we would want some sort of faithfulness, not that they would think that we are God and we could bring salvation into their lives, but we provide for them that we're mom and dad. We brought them into the world. We can take them out, right? You know, I mean, we've heard that said, but we would like a love. We would like a trust that mom and dad are going to take care of you. We'd like a dependence. And when you think of things, the things that hurt our hearts most about our children is when they walk away from these things, when it feels like they don't love us, when it feels like they don't trust us, when there isn't that dependence there. Again, think about a child. I mean, and think about, who is a child always looking for? I mean, think about as a young child, a toddler. If you've ever been, you know, a mom or dad, and you've been woken up by your child. He or she is up and they're bouncing around, and you know, and you got other things to do, but they're always looking for you. You're trying to do different things. They're always under your feet, and different things. My mom tells me this story all the time. I mean, she's told me so much that I'm just tired of hearing it. She reminds me all the time about how bad I was. Now my dad was a tanker in Vietnam with the Marines, and he must have bought me this little metal die-cast tank. And so you can kind of feel what a die-cast tank would feel like. Well, she wouldn't wake up. And I don't remember this. I don't know if she knocked me out and I just forgot, or if I was just too young. I took this tank and I threw it and I hit her in the face. But I wanted her attention. Now, I'm not saying we should hit God in the face with the tang, nor should that happen. But where do our kids, when they're really like this, where do our children want to be? They want to be in our way. They want to be around us. They want to they want to be honest. They want to be loving. They want to be talking to us. I can remember with our first child, Kristen. She must be with the baby somewhere. And I would say to her, "Go away from me right now." Because I had to work. I was going through college, doing different things. And she was always chatty, boom, 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 boom. And I said, "Go away from me." And I remember the day when she just sunk, and it just broke her heart when we said, "Go away from me right now." And it wasn't in a mean way, like, "Go away from me." It was like, you know, Daddy's got something to do right now. Mama's got something to do right now. And I remember when it broke her heart, and that just changed our whole thought on that, our whole view on that. I mean, God wants us to be like a child under his feet, and he will not tell us, "Go away from me." He will not tell us unless we're, well, that's another sermon. But he's a God who loves us and a God who wants us to trust him, to have faith in him, to love him, to always be talking to him and telling him everything, or the good things, the bad things. "Lord, here I am. Lord, I am struggling. Oh, I'm struggling. Lord, help me." Now, let's look at Hebrews verse 11, 6. It's going to be on the board for us. Look at that together. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." And him is God in this passage. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Oh, a desperate faith, a dependent faith, where we come to God because, I mean, literally, it's true. It is the breath that you just breathed. It is because when he started life in mankind, he made us out of dust. He formed us, and then he breathed the breath of life into us. The very breath that we have is the breath that God has given us. Every moment, every breath, every blessing is his, and he, because of him, and he loves us, and he responds to us, and he's waiting for us to do that. And again, God is a God who responds to not just to us, but I'm talking about us in true faith, and true faith, a faith that really believes, a faith that really trusts. And the next, what we see is also a faith that is focused on Jesus. I mean, consider these five men. They're obviously late. They didn't get the notice. And part of how I wanted to do this service today, it wouldn't have made sense to y'all, but I would have loved it. I wanted Jacob to get on the djembe and just start beating the djembe, boom, 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 boom. Because when I was over in Africa, we went throughout up and down the country. And whenever they wanted to do something, they showed the Jesus film, they had church, they had different, they had a VBS. And there was no notices out. They didn't get on TV. They didn't get on the radio. They didn't put posters out. And they would just bring the bongo drums and three guys. They're more of a djembe. They would just start beating, and it wasn't a rhythm. There wasn't any music, and they just started just boom 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 boom. And then people just started coming. People just started coming out of it, and it was amazing. So I imagine somehow the word got out here. Nobody knew that Jesus was going to be there at 6:00, and you got to show up, wear your best, do all this. No, they just knew something was going on, and they had heard that Jesus was there, and they were going, and they were going to take their friend. Everybody else, all they had to do is take their lunch and go, even if they took that, and they had to get the stretcher, get a couple guys, pick him up, and carry him there, and then they get there, and they're late, and the place is filled up, and there's not even a back row. And they're like, "Jesus is there. We got to get you to him." They were focused on Jesus Christ. They could have said, like some of us, there's just no room for us today. Oh, there's just no room for us today. Let's go. Let's do this, or maybe that, or we're not prepared. No, they were focused on Jesus, and they said, "Whatever it takes, we're going to get you to Jesus." Again, these five men, they were focused, and I mean, when we pray, are we truly focused on God? When we come into those places, are we truly focused on God? We know that when we pray that he will answer our prayer. He tells us when we come to him with a faithful prayer that he will respond to it, that he will bless that. But why does he not? Again, that could be another question. The question we have is the requests that we are making him, are they good? Oh, the request that these five men were for his healing. And is there really faith in some of the things that we're asking for? What are you praying for? What are you desperate for? Are they things that line up with God's word? Do you even know how they line up with God's word? Are you in God's word? And here they came, and they, of course, they, I don't know where they were in God's word. They didn't have a copy of his word. I imagine they were in the synagogue of some in some way. But that's really not the point. It was that these five men, they were focused on Jesus. We've heard the stories of churches, and thank God it hasn't been here, and may it never be here, but where churches have literally split over the color of the carpet, where churches have literally split over what we call, in, I guess among ministers, sacred cows. Sacred cows are things that don't matter. Things that really don't, they don't matter, and they cause conflict, that we worship them and we're worried more about them, whether it be pews or be it a pulpit or be it something, things that don't matter in the kingdom of God. And that they lose their focus, and we focus on those things and we totally miss Jesus Christ. There's a hymn, and I sure hope this is the book. Yeah, it is. Good deal. There's a hymn, and you know this hymn. I'm sure you do. It's on page 340. And Tim, I'm sure glad that was there, because I left my other one in the office. 340. You ever heard Turn Your Eyes to Jesus? Listen to this. I'm not going to sing it. I'll maybe let Josh do it. Let one of you choir members do it. But it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Did you hear that part where it says, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim? When we come to a place of desperate faith, the things of this earth, they don't matter. They don't matter at all, whether they're things, whether they're needs. He says, I know what your needs are, and I can provide them. Seek me first. We find that in Matthew 6. And he says, seek me first. And imagine if we had such a faith where we come seeking the Lord, where the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Can you get that in your mind? That we see him in the light of his glory and grace, and we see him in such a way where all this other stuff just no longer matters. Whether it be stuff, materialism, problems, even illnesses, maybe even terminal type things. Oh, when we get our eyes focused on him. Oh, again, this is a desperate faith. It's a faith that is dependent on God, and it's focused on Jesus Christ. And then next, it's a faith that perseveres. That perseveres. And it perseveres to get to Jesus is what it does. And whenever he got to Jesus, again, they persevere. You got to understand, I mean, we see houses and we see, you know, they're ripping through the roof. You know, we would need a skill saw, chainsaw, crowbars, and all kinds of stuff to get through the roof. And then we just drop in the attic and we still have to go through at least another layer. And that's not how these houses, how they were made. There was usually a roof up top, and they would have their laundry. There would be a place that they could stand. There would be a stairway or a ladder way or some way where they could get up on the roof, and they would actually spend time there. It was a living area, and it was a roof that was made out of tiles that was kind of a clay and straw and a straw mixture, and it was built strong enough to where it could support the weight of the people. And so here they are, they are persevering. They said, there's no room for us. Hey, we're getting you to Jesus, buddy. We came here, we toted you. We have this desperate faith because there is no hope. There's no other hope for you. Think he was a man. This was in 2,000 years ago where medicine wasn't what it was like today. And they said, this is your only hope. We know that Jesus can heal you. We know that he will if we can only get you to him. And then they're toting him up to the roof and they're digging through. And all of a sudden the dirt comes. They had a persevering faith. I still don't know how they lowered him down. I mean, I don't know if they had the rope. I don't know. I just don't know how they got him down there without dropping him. But they did it, and I can only imagine the smile on Jesus' face. I tell you, they had every reason to turn around. They had every reason to not try it. They had every reason to say, buddy, I'm sorry, we'll have to come again tomorrow. I mean, they had no guarantee of tomorrow, because the last time they saw him, he was there for just a day, and they came back the next day, and he said, hey, we got to go away. He said, so they were determined, they were persevering, that they were going to get their friend to Jesus, and he lowered him down, and I can only imagine the compassion in Jesus' eyes. And one of the passages that we kind of skipped over, but he was healing people. There was a leper there. And the leper came and he said, Lord, if you are willing, please heal me. And it says, in the scripture says that Jesus looked at this leper where most people would have nothing to do with this leper. And they would actually back away from this leper. And Jesus, it says in the word back in Mark 1, it says that he looked at him with compassion. There was a compassion. And then Jesus said, I am willing. I can only imagine when Jesus lowered him down, just the joy that was in his heart, because it was finally, this is the faith that I'm looking for in my people. And then what does he say? First of all, did you notice when I read that passage, Jesus didn't just heal him. He dealt with first the sin problem. There's the sin problem. A lot of times we'll pray for people and even pray for ourselves that we are so focused on the material and the worldly that we totally miss what matters. And Jesus knew exactly what mattered, and he looked at him and he came back down. I mean, it didn't even show that Jesus said, whoa, what are y'all doing? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. And then, of course, the scribes and the teachers and the Pharisees, they get all up in an uproar. But here, Jesus, he dealt with what matters most. What are we focused on? What are we believing in? What do we know about God's word? How are we praying? Do we even know how to pray? Oh, it's a faith that perseveres. Ours today is still a faith. We don't have to have a friend that's paralyzed that we need to throw in a stretcher and carry him around. Our faith is still this type of faith, a faith that is dependent on God, one that is focused on Jesus Christ, and the one that perseveres. We read over and over and over again that our faith is not easy. It's not easy. It talks about endurance, about persevering, about pressing on. And friends, where are you pressing on at? Now, we got to think, it wasn't just hard because they dug through a roof. I mean, just think about it. This was a time where an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I mean, they were doing damage to property here. I mean, not saying that you should go out and do damage to property, but they were just so focused on Christ that this required that in some way that it was going to cost them whether time, cost them financially. They were going to have to fix that roof for their friend afterwards. I bet their friend helped out. He had been paralyzed his whole life and watching them. I bet he was there. I bet he climbed a ladder or climbed a flight of stairs for the first time in his new feet, new legs. That must have been amazing. But again, they persevered. Oh, what's stopping us? What's stopping us to really submit to Jesus Christ? What is stopping us? Yeah, I'm not talking about faith, about you where you haven't come to a place of salvation. You know, there's much more. The day of salvation is just day one. It's just the step one, and there's so much more. That's where the journey begins. But what is stopping us from coming to a place of dependent faith, of a place that is focused solely on Jesus Christ, and a place that is willing to persevere? I shared with you before, it was one of the most difficult times and the most beautiful times of my life. And those days, it's just beautiful. And Jesus, but even in the midst of that, the chastisement, even it was beautiful. That where I said, Lord, why? And he said, because. And then to begin to change my focus, change my steps, change my obedience. Obedience is the ultimate form of worship. And then just to see God be faithful in those things. Oh, it's not easy. It's not easy. Faith like a child, being focused on Christ, being willing to persevere no matter what, to get to Jesus, to be obedient in those things. We get our big idea. from verse 5. In verse 5 it says, and Jesus, seeing their faith. So our big idea today is let Jesus see your faith. As Josh is coming. Again, we don't have to be a paralytic to have desperate faith. We don't have to be a paralytic to be dependent on him. We don't have to be a paralytic to persevere in pursuing him and knowing him. It's just simply knowing what he's already done for us, the things that we've sung about, the things that we've talked about, that he has forgiven our, first he's created us. He loved us even in our sin. He has washed us clean of our sins if we believe in him. He has sent Jesus to die for our sins if you have yet to come to that place. He's called us to faith. He's saved our souls. He's brought healing, eternal healing to our soul, that even if this body here was to die tomorrow, that our soul would begin that point of celebration for 10,000 years and forevermore. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? First of all, thank him. Tomorrow we talked about just thanking him. Thank him for everything. Start today. May we be a people that thank him each and every day. Worship him, not just here. We will worship him here, but it's an everyday thing. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord, and I will obey the things that I know to obey you in. Talk to him. Say, when's the last time you've just talked to God? I mean, prayer isn't, we talked about prayer extensively last week. I mean, prayer, again, it isn't something that you just got to have a degree to do, or you got to, you know, be a Sunday school teacher to do, or this or that. It's just simply talking to God just like you would talk to somebody that you love. Tell him everything. If you're mad about something, tell him about it. He's a big boy. He can handle you being mad. Oh, just talk to him and just, Lord, help me. And when you begin to talk and we begin to seek him and you begin to get into his word, I tell you, he begins to enlighten things. He begins to teach you. He begins to change you. And it becomes something that starts off as a discipline, something that is difficult, something that is hard. It becomes where it's just, it is now just the best time of the day, something you don't want to go without and something that you look forward to. And maybe you're in the midst of a challenge. Maybe you're in the midst of challenge. Continue pressing on through challenges in this world. They will come. And you've heard me say, because I heard it's been said before, that if you're either going through a challenge or you're just coming out of a challenge or you're about to go into a challenge. Oh, but God is faithful when we get to that place. Oh, but it hurts. It does hurt. I'm just thinking about this. This is not in my notes, but just thinking about the four men carrying it, and this is a statement that I made to Larry here just a few minutes ago. Pray about being a friend that can carry somebody who's hurting. We really come here, and we got more guard here than we do out in the workplace, out in the neighborhoods, out in our family. Why? Because there's the expectation that we're all supposed to be perfect, right? Oh, yeah, we're supposed to be. So we can't let people know that inside my faith is paralyzed because of this or that. We can't be honest with different people because we're afraid that, you know, hey, we are the church and we are Christians and we got to have it all put together. No, we're Christians because we've come to the realization that we don't have it all together. And I tell you, there's going to be a time where I'm going to need four of you. I'm not talking about six of you. There may be a time that I need six of you. I'm not ready for that yet. But there may be a time that I need four of you to lift me up in prayer. And the same, there may be a time that you need four. Let's be one of the four. That whenever they come into their situation comes into our life, instead of being a people that would back away from the leper or back away from whatever or from whatever sin that we've called to be just too bad for Christ to do anything about, may we be one of the people that whenever that person is hurting and they can't help themselves, that we will lift them up and take them to Christ. Let's be that kind of people. Again, come to Jesus. The Spirit is calling, calls us all. In his word, we see through his word that he speaks to us. But if God is putting something on your heart that you need to do next, I encourage you to do it. You won't regret it.